What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
Good morning, millennials. Welcome back to the Morning Toast. Happy Thursday after Hurricane Ida over here in New York.
Mm-hmm.
Hope everyone is okay.
Yeah, lots of flooding, some crazy videos. Crazy times. Hope everyone is doing okay.
May I ask you a question?
Mm-hmm.
Is this a piece of information that everyone knew was happening?
Well, not. I didn't know.
No.
I only progressively knew from like storm warnings and then starting to see some stuff on social media. But like you got the flash flood alert.
Yes, but the storm had already started. Like,
right.
I'm spending, you know, living my life.
No, but like I was outside last night because we recorded Redheads late last night.
Right.
We went home at like 8:30 and it was raining sideways. I didn't know that was Hurricane Ida.
Me neither. I get dressed to go meet Brian for dinner. You know, of course, I live in a bunker. I have no windows. I'm like, oh, I bet it's hot outside. I should wear shorts. I get all dressed up and I walk out. It's torrential. And I'm like, holy shit. And I go downtown. And as I'm driving on the FDR, like, I'm scared. I'm like, this is crazy.
Yeah.
I had no idea. And then I literally got stuck downtown. Till 2 a.m. I could not get a car. It was crazy lightning. I was like in a building with windows. So refreshing. Literally crazy ass lightning. Everyone's phones in the restaurant were going off at the same time with like the flash flood warning. And I was like, why the fuck did I leave my house? Nobody told me. Like, I didn't know.
I didn't know either. I mean, you know who I blame?
Weather
Snitch. Blame it on the Weather Snitch.
That is such a fucking good song. Blame it on the weatherman.
Yeah, because like she gives us the weather every day. She did tell us it was going to rain all day. But she didn't tell us that we were in Ida's path.
No, she
but
did
maybe,
not.
Maybe she gets her information also, like, from some bad sources. And I just think we should always be blaming it on the weatherman, because the weatherman never knows what the fuck he's talking about.
Ever.
Ever.
But, you know, Brian, when we were together, he lives on the Delaware. Literally, his entire property is underwater. Like, it's fucking crazy.
Oh, my God.
He said his pickup truck is gone. Like, he doesn't know where it is.
Oh, my God.
Crazy. So, it's worse for other people.
Yeah. It was worse outside of the city in the boroughs, too.
But I just have to say, the weather we're having today is so glorious. It's one of the days where you're like, I could never leave New York in the fall. You know, it's gorgeous outside. 66, slight breeze.
Mm. Yeah, it really is nice. And we're just cruising into fall. And you guys, we deserve it after the summer that we put up with.
No, I cannot wait. I'm telling you, I mean, I'm sure this won't actually come true. But like, my fucking fall style is going to be sickening. Like, we'll see if that
leggings,
actually happens.
Sweatshirts.
Yeah, like, I'm done. Boots. I'm done wearing this shit. Like, I
need... That looks like fall style.
This was my foray into fall. I'm falling into fall. But this is like old, you know, stuff. I need new stuff.
Okay, new sweatshirts, new leggings.
Not leggings, bitch. Like, I want to wear culottes. Like, I'm going to be a fashionista. I want to wear, like, trousers.
Do it. I would love to see you in a pair of trousers.
You know what? I do think it's time. And I know, like, people have said this to me specifically in the past, like, as an insult. I do think I need a stylist. Like, how do people consistently have new clothes? I've been wearing the same shit since, like, literal high school.
Yeah. Okay, do it.
I need a rotating wardrobe. I'm an on-air camera person.
Get a stylist.
Reach out, you guys. But only if you shop at, like, ASOS. I can't be spending lots of money on clothes.
Yeah. No, I'm sure you could find someone.
Yeah.
That's fun.
I want, like, I actually feel like that's a really good business to start. I feel like it actually exists. It's whatever. But, like, someone who shops online for you. I find it exhausting. My eyes hurt after a while.
So hard to be you.
So incredibly difficult. You have no fucking idea. And I just want to say I'm really proud of myself. Because when I figured, I was like 10:30, I realized I was not going to get home for a while last night. I was so far from home, literally edge of the city. And I was like, all right, I guess we're just going to have to get fucked up. And I did just that. Not only did I get home at 2 o'clock, take my makeup off, managed to remember to take Advil, drank a bottle of water, woke up, not hungover, watched Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, and got here on time. I'm proud of myself.
I'm proud of you too, and I'm glad for it because we've got a lot to do today, and hungover Claudia just wouldn't be up to the task.
And honestly, like, I think this is what we call, like, growing up. I'm kind of over hungover Claudia. She's, like, kind of disgusting. You're laughing because you agree?
No, I would never have used that word. That's not how I perceive her.
Maybe not disgusting, but, like, she's fucking useless.
Okay.
And then it's just, like, I don't know, like, a waste of a show. And we're, like, taking so many days off these days. Like, we can't just be wasting shows.
It's, like, take a day off. If you're going to waste a show, take a day off. Enjoy it. Go somewhere. Leave
totally.
The city.
Totally.
So that's I think that's called growth. I'm really excited to hear it. You know, sometimes hungover Claudia once in a while.
Yeah.
Always a fun time. She came here a lot this summer.
No, she was visiting super frequently, but I did warn everyone. I said.
You did.
We're living in a post-pandemic world, do not come for me.
Not without warning.
Yeah, but I think I've kind of evolved past that. Like, if I want to get fucked up, like, I'm just not coming in.
Fine.
I think that's what it's going to be.
Okay, that's fine.
So, that's what you get.
Sweet.
What did you do yesterday? Oh, I started that book you recommended. Sorry, I cannot stop talking over you. The Lion's Den.
Okay.
I'm, like, really not deep into it yet. Like, I haven't gotten the hook yet. I mean, it's cute and fun. They're on a private plane. Like, I cannot complain. But I haven't been reeled in yet.
Okay, you'll be reeled. And then you'll be reeled again and, like, maybe again once more.
Oh, wow, okay.
It's pretty, it's, like, a long book. It just keeps, like, changing.
Yeah, it's, like, 5 hours.
Okay, but, like, if you like it, then you shouldn't want it to end so quickly. It's good. I think you'll like it because there's a lot of fabulosity. And
yes,
that's
there is.
Really your criteria. Yesterday was a busy day for me because we recorded The Redheads last night. We recapped and discussed We Are the Brennans, which was a really great book. And it was such a fun episode of The Redheads. We came here to the studio. We had dinner first, which is like my new.
What'd you eat?
Serafina.
Fuck. I had Cipriani last night, Jackie.
Cipriani's like the best restaurant.
Oh, I totally forgot to mention. I had the cake, obviously. I had the fattest fucking dinner of all time. Like,
do you have pasta?
Well, let's start from the beginning. I ate the whole bread basket.
Need to go to Cipriani because I need a salad to start.
Jackie, it was so fucking
good. And then I need a pasta and then I need the cake.
And ready? The new Cipriani downtown has pizza. It was, okay, so I ate a whole bread, literally a whole bread basket. The guy was like, should we bring another one? I'm like, yes, there are more people coming. Ate the whole bread basket, then a margarita pizza that was so heavenly, like I could have plotzed. Then I got this, I forget what the pasta was called, but it was basically marinara and cream. So it was like a pink sauce. And they gave it family style. It was like the biggest platter ever. Oh my God, it was so.
For a family of one.
Literally. It was so good. And then I was so full. So we like sat at the table for a while and kept drinking. And then, you know, I wasn't full anymore. So we got the cake. And the cake, Jackie, it was better than I remembered.
Wow.
It was so fucking good.
Wow.
So you ate Serafina?
Yeah, you're eating too good, and I can't hear about it. It's just, like, it's not right. The way, like, especially last week, I realized, like, you just eat so good, and, like, now that I'm so...
What do you mean?
...in tune with, like, what I'm eating, and all I'm looking for is, like, a good meal. Like, you're just constantly being fed, like, delicious gourmet. Like, Olivia's cooking for you, Ben's cooking for you, oh, yeah. We're going to Cipriani, and, like, for me, it's true. It's like, I'm ordering Serafina again.
Okay, I just have to say, like, stick with me. First of all, that's what we're learning throughout your pregnancy. And second of all, I was literally talking about this last night with Brian. I'm like, you guys, me and Jackie have never been better. Like, we are so similar now that she's pregnant. Like, she's tired, she's hungry, and, like, I can just finally relate to her. So, honestly, like, we've got to go to Cipriani. That's the lesson
we
here.
We do. I forgot how much I love Cipriani. Every location, and there's so many, and they're all so different, but they're all stellar.
A new one opened downtown, and Jackie, it was the best one I've been to.
Oh, really? There's so many. The downtown one, like the West Broadway one, is like the cool one and it's good.
Yeah.
But I love the one at the Mr. C Hotel. I think the pasta there is on.
In Beverly Hills?
No. The Mr. C in New York.
Oh, where is
there's
that?
There's a Mr. C like down by the seaport.
That's where I was.
Maybe the Casa
Cipriani. Hotel?
Yeah.
But I don't think it's called a Mr. C.
It is.
There's so many different brands under the Cipriani like umbrella. I can't keep
up. It's confusing, but
it's called the whole building is called Casa Cipriani, and it's a hotel. Brian was staying there last night, so I went to his hotel room.
Oh, so maybe they rebranded.
Was it a Mr. C?
It was a Mr. C.
I love the Mr. C in Beverly Hills.
Except the beds are too small for four sisters to stay in one room, which is what we learned.
Yeah, because they said two queen beds. I'm like, okay, we're sisters. Two of us can bunk. Not queen beds. They're fulls at best.
Fulls at best. They're a large twin.
Jackie will refer to like a bed that's like an odd shape as a Mr. C bed.
No, like there is a shape of bed that is not even a full. Because I had a full in college and like that was freaking huge.
A full is really similar to a queen.
Yeah. But there is a size bed that is a little bit smaller than a full, a little bit bigger than a twin, and it's called a Mr. C bed because they have them at Mr. C.
And we were all just like miserable that whole weekend. Like, it was such a fun trip. And every time we got back to the room, we're like, ugh.
Ugh. And we had Mr. to like, C-bed. Who are we sharing with tonight? Like, get away.
That is fucking funny.
Yeah.
So yeah, we got to eat good. Like, we did not go to lunch yesterday, like you promised me.
Okay, because you didn't want to go either.
No, I was just like kind of tired.
I was just ready to get home to Brew. Like, I miss him so much. I'm just like, have Brew attachment. Today we need to watch Shrek 2 because we watched Shrek the other day, Brew and I, and he was cracking up over Donkey. He was like, this man gets me. I was like, yeah, Brew, like you are Donkey.
Shrek is really good.
Shrek is really good. We were influenced by Kay. And so I just, it was so enjoyable to watch Shrek 1 alone, sober, adult. So good. So now we need to watch Shrek 2, and I really think Brew's going to love Puss in Boots. I'm so excited for Brew to meet Puss. In Boots.
Puss?
Puss in Boots.
Puss in Boots. Puss. Puss is like the things that come out of your pimple.
Yeah, but Puss is, because he's pussy.
He's a cat.
Yeah.
Puss.
He's really inappropriate.
It's actually like not kid friendly.
No, the whole movie is so, is the most double entendre.
Yes.
Of all everything.
And that's how parents, that's how like the movie studios get the parents to take their kids to the movies.
Yes, but most of the cartoons are not like that. Like, we watch Moana all weekend because that's Miss K's
favorite movie.
Oh my God, I've had it stuck in my head since then, like, and not in a good way. Mm-hmm. And it's not underlying raunchiness like Shrek. Shrek is on another level.
I agree.
Yeah.
Shrek is like actually for adults.
Yeah.
Or like, at least when we saw it, we weren't watching a lot of cartoons. It was like we were beyond the cartoon age, but like the movie slapped.
Yeah, it's like Alan Gregory. It's like The Prince, it's, you know, cartoons,
Alan Gregory.
Cartoons for adults.
Now that Jay goes by that, I don't think about Alan Gregory.
So Brew and I need to get to watching Shrek 2 because he's like, what happens with Fiona and Shrek? Like,
so you're saying we can't have lunch is what the message
we
is.
We could, but you'll have to talk to Brew.
Okay, I'll... My people will talk to your people.
Sweet.
Well, we have a great show for you guys today. We do have the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills recap, the dinner party from hell, which was a very good episode. Mm-hmm. And we're going to be recapping that along with the Fast Five. So I do think, without further ado,
it is time for the Fast Five stories that you need to know before you wake up and take a bite out of your morning toast.
And today's episode is brought to you by Spritz Society, your favorite, well, your new favorite, canned cocktail, sparkling wine, 6% ABV, started by yours truly. And we've got a Labor Day sale coming up. The code is LaborDay15 at SpritzSociety.com. 15% off the entire website. So if you're looking to throw a BBQ or just have some people over.
Or try just stock your fridge with some premium beverages that also are stunning to look at.
Try Spritz Society. We come in four flavors. We've got pineapple, grapefruit, lemonade, and blood orange. They're fabulous. There's a flavor for everyone. They're sparkling wine based. So we ship to most U.S. states. Head to SpritzSociety.com. And also, use the code LaborDay15 for 15% off. You know, we have a code TOAST here, obviously, but this Labor Day sale is better than ours. So I'm not pushing code TOAST. I'm pushing code LaborDay15, and it won't last long. SpritzSociety.com.
Thank you, Claudia.
A pleasure.
Okay, first story. Olivia Jade Giannulli and Bachelor Matt James reportedly joined Dancing with the Stars. Giannulli was spotted being escorted into the rehearsal studio Tuesday in a video published by TMZ, which reported that her pro partner appears to be Val Chermkovsky. Meanwhile, Matt James, has also been added to the lineup for the upcoming season of the ABC dance competition show, Us Weekly reported. It is unclear who he'll be paired with.
I mean, this really is not a rumor because there's video evidence, and I'm just like taking a minute to ingest all of this.
Okay.
Like, for Matt James to do it, that's not surprising. After people on The Bachelor go all the time. It's a great way to boost your fame. Matt and, you know, has been doing a lot of that after his time on The Bachelor. Makes total sense.
He hasn't been doing that much, but okay.
Really?
Yeah, I feel like him and Rachel are really low-key, and like they just like, you know, ride around New York on their bicycles and are just living life.
That's so interesting.
They're
that
just
that's your
living life. Like, they go to cool events because they're invited to cool events, but I don't feel like they're on the typical Bachelor tract of like
thirst mustering. That's very interesting. I don't see it like that's not how it's been perceived for me.
Okay.
But nevertheless, him going on Dancing with the Stars is it the natural order of things.
Yes.
But this Olivia Jade thing is throwing me through a loop, whatever the phrase is. Like, I don't know why this just like makes no sense, because obviously it makes sense in the sense that like she's an influencer, she has this like big scandal, whatever. But people who go on Dancing with the Stars, there is an element of desperation mm-hmm. that Olivia Jade does not currently nor has she ever possessed. Like, at the end of the day, she's rich as hell and she's like living life. So I just, it's like people who go on Dancing with the Stars either like on their way up or on their way down trying to bounce back. And yes, Olivia Jade could probably use that bounce back after like the college admissions drama. But I don't know. I just feel like she's better than this.
Okay. I mean, I hear why you say that because we always say like, you know, and Dancing with the Stars really did start as like celebrity wasteland. But I do think now it's a lot cooler. Like
based
on the people that have come out of it and like the success that they've had from it. And Olivia, she's been back for a while now. It's been a long time since, you know, she came back to YouTube.
Table
it's
talk.
Been a long time since Red Table Talk. And, like, she's nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, like, she
needs a boost.
She needs a boost. And her family, like, they're fine. And it's not about the money. But, like, if she wants to have a career, she needs to do shit like this.
That's very true.
And I feel like this is actually, like, a fun thing to do, like, as far as desperate activities go, you know, like
yeah.
You could do Dancing with the Stars, you could do a Depends commercial, like
yeah.
I'd rather do Dancing with the Stars.
I guess that's true. No, and Dancing with the Stars has come a long way. It used to really be for people who were on the way down in their career, but honestly now it's like 50% people on the way down and 50% people on the way up, so they've made huge progress in.
And like JoJo Siwa's on this season, and
it's a good season.
I wouldn't say that she is going up or down. I feel like she's a star
totally,
and she'll be dancing with the stars.
Makes sense. So I was just really surprised to hear this.
Yeah.
But you're right. Like, it does make sense. It's hard when you have a scandal of that magnitude, because even though time passes, you are left in this, like, vortex that you can't get out of, because it's, like, always a thing you're going to be remembered for. So maybe, I don't know if she, like, slips or something.
She has to change the narrative.
Yeah, she
and
does.
And, like, she can't do that while, like, you know, just taking
vlogs,
Instagram mirror pictures. And even not even the vlogs. Where
yeah,
are the
she
vlogs?
She's done like five since her comeback. She's right. Very sparse.
Exactly. Also, some of the other contestants who were on for this season: JoJo Siwa, Kenya Moore.
Shut up.
Olympian Suni Lee.
Oh, she's winning. That's actually like
no. And the talk co-host Amanda Kloots, who is a dancer.
She is?
Right. She used to post all
Pilates.
Those dancing videos. She posted all those dancing videos.
No, I think you're confusing her with like another like influencer who does like dance workouts.
Who?
I don't know, but she does Pilates.
She's the influencer who did dance workouts, and then she became like so much more than that, but
you
like
think?
She's the dancer.
Suni Lee, in my opinion, has the biggest leg up here. Or JoJo Siwa, actually, she came from Dance Moms. She's a classically trained dancer. Keep that in mind.
So is Amanda Kloots, I believe. Like, I think if we go to Amanda Kloots' Wikipedia, like, she's
please
a
look
dancer.
It up. I'm pretty sure she's a Pilates expert, not a dance expert.
Amanda Kloots is an American television personality, dancer, and fitness instructor.
Okay,
but her fitness was her dancing.
I understand.
But the dancing was a lot of jumping around, not like Dancing with the Stars.
I understand.
Okay.
No, it's actually shaping up to be quite a competitive cast.
Yeah.
But
and,
we have this conversation every year.
And
like,
relevant.
Yes, we have this conversation every year about like, is it really fair? Like, of course, like, I want Suni Lee to win, and she probably will. Like, she's literally, like, there's nothing she can't do. She doesn't have to, like, a lot of people really go on and struggle with, like, the constant, like, the working out. A lot of people drop a lot of weight. Like, Suni Lee's been in Olympic training for 4 years. Like, this is nothing.
Yeah.
So she does have an unfair advantage.
But Simone Biles was on. Did she win?
No.
I don't think she won, and people thought.
But Lori Hernandez was on, and I do believe she won.
So it's not like a guarantee, but remember Heather Morris was
that's
on.
the iconic example, the girl
Normani
from Glee.
Was on.
Yeah, that's on.
That's crazy. And she didn't win?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
That is crazy.
That just goes to show. Like,
yeah, no, it goes to show, like, that it's rigged.
Mm-hmm. Normani's, like, the best dancer
of all
our
time. Yeah.
And she didn't win Dancing with the Stars.
That's actually really funny. Also, when it comes to Dancing with the Stars, I had something to say, and it was worth saying, so just give me 45 seconds.
Okay, take all the time that you need.
Dancing with the Stars.
Now Dancing with the Stars reminds me of that Kanye song, I Can't Be Out Here Dancing with the Stars.
Wait, what were we talking about? It was like right in my brain.
Normani, Heather Morris, Simone Biles, Amanda Kloots.
Yeah, it's coming back. Wait. Whatever. I hope Abby Lee Miller shows up.
To root for JoJo?
Yeah. You know, she's JoJo's biggest fan.
Is she?
She's come around. Yeah. Even though, like, Abby Lee really didn't see in JoJo what the world saw in JoJo. Abby Lee, like, rejected her. She, like, left. Like, she was not popular or liked by Abby Lee.
In Abby Lee's defense, if I may. And I don't watch Dance Moms, and I didn't see JoJo's departure.
But you feel compelled to speak on this.
I feel compelled just from at a glance. Okay, Abby Lee's job was to find the best dancer.
Yes.
What JoJo does now does not have to do with being the best dancer.
No, but also, I'm so glad you brought that up because I could literally write a dissertation on this. Yes, while it was Abby Lee Miller's job to find the best dancer, she was truly clouded by so many other things that, like, it was, first of all, she played favorites based on talent, but also just based on, like, personality. And then the mom's getting involved. Like, if she hated your mom, like, she hated you too. Like, mm-hmm. like honestly, Chloe Lukasiak was, like, always right behind Maddie. Like, Maddie was always on top of the pyramid, and Chloe was, like, right behind. Even though, like, they really were, like, both equally talented. But I just don't think Abby liked her mom, Christy. And, like, that just added, like, a whole other political element. So, yes, while it was a talent competition, Abby wasn't always a fair judge.
Fine.
And the more seasons,
not what I'm saying.
The more seasons that went on, Abby became more and more delusional.
Fine. Not what I'm saying at all. But like the success that JoJo has had has been about her as a person.
Not as a dancer.
Not her dancing.
You know, I agreed with that. There was just another element in your sentence I just wanted to correct.
Sure. It sounds like you have like a bone to pick with with Dance Moms. Like
I think we all do.
Not me, because I didn't watch.
You are so missing out, Jackie.
I know, you've told me that, but Claude, I just can't, okay?
No, now, I told you it years ago. No offense, you're too old to watch it now.
No, you told me it a few months ago, too. And I said I would watch it, but, like, I'm not going to.
Maybe you weren't pregnant yet, because now that you're pregnant, you can't watch Dance Moms.
My kid could watch it.
Literally.
Okay, next up, some sad news. Andy Cohen and the Real Housewives of Atlanta stars send love to NeNe Leakes after her husband, Greg, dies of colon cancer. Greg Leakes died at age 66 following a battle with colon cancer. Publicist and longtime family friend Ernst Dukes confirmed in a Wednesday statement.
This is so sad.
So sad. A few days ago, it was reported that he was like on the decline. It was happening quickly.
NeNe opened a club in Atlanta called Lenithia Lounge. And she did like an event there. And I guess someone recorded it or just like told it to TMZ that she basically is like, I've been MIA. Like my husband has been dying. And I'm just like watching the person that I love just slowly die. And then literally 2 days later.
Yeah.
So fucking sad.
So sad.
I was like hit really hard by it, you know?
I think a lot of people were.
Because he was like, NeNe like has been, you know, insufferable on the show. She's been great on the show. But Greg has like always just been like her ride or die. I think a lot of people were like really moved by their love story. They got divorced and remarried. Like, I don't know. I feel so profoundly sad about this.
Yeah.
And I know everyone else has. Andy left like a really nice message on his Twitter, even though like I don't believe him and NeNe are even on speaking terms.
Oh, that's so interesting.
Yeah.
But he said, I'm heartbroken over the passing of Greg Leakes, a wonderful man. I jokingly called him Pastor Leakes, but in truth, he was a strong voice of reason and commanded great respect among the entire Real Housewives of Atlanta team. I'm sending love and strength to NeNe and the entire Leakes family. I do hope that like he reached out and maybe, me you too. Know, this could be a bridge.
It would be great. And you know, like during the end of her time on the show, NeNe was so mean and so unhappy, and it's almost like easy to look past that now, like knowing what she was going through with Greg. Like any person would be terrible to their friends. Like, so I do feel like NeNe actually does deserve a second chance. And I just can't believe that like Greg beat cancer, you know, and then like all was good and then it wasn't.
Yeah.
Ugh, I'm so upset by this. And I don't know, and like sad for their kids and NeNe, and it's just really sad because he was like the best. He was really integral in bringing Kim Zolciak and NeNe back together. Like he was just a good man. Like he really was a lovely, lovely gentleman.
Yeah.
And I'm deep, like I know she's not on the show anymore, but like the world and the franchise, everything will suffer without Greg Leakes, and I'm so sad.
Yes, I agree. His absence will definitely be felt regardless of her presence or not on the show.
Yeah. And I hope all the ladies are properly.
I
a lot of them have a lot of beef, like historical beef.
Yes, but I think this is one of those things where like the beef is set aside because, you know, it's usually pretty superficial beef and it's like housewife drama and this and that.
No, this is like Jill, Bobby and Bethany.
Yes.
That's where everyone kind of had their rapprochement.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Okay, our next story. Katie Thurston is reacting to Michelle Young's glam bachelorette promo. So Michelle Young's bachelorette promo dropped yesterday, and it is flames. Sickening.
You know what it is? It's opulent. It's budget.
It's budget. It's a Little Mix song. It's perfect. Like, It was just stunning. It really was like the creme de la creme of even like in the height of Bachelor days. Who got the best promos? When you think of the best promos, you think
Hannah
of
Brown.
Like Hannah Brown. Like this was everything like that. And we thought those days were over because of Katie Thurston's promo.
The t-shirt.
Yes.
Team Katie.
So Katie wrote, y'all, I wore a rubber purple skirt backwards, which was a shout out to my vibrator. Regardless, I found love and I hope Michelle does too.
Wait. That skirt was a metaphor?
For her vibrator.
I thought it was just ugly.
Maybe it was like...
Maybe the purple... The vibrator she brought on the first night, we couldn't see. It was blurred out. Maybe it was purple.
No, but then why couldn't she wear it forwards? She wore it backwards with the zipper in the front.
Does her vibrator have a zipper?
No, but maybe it's like she... That way she can unzip easily for her vibrator.
But oh, everyone, for real?
But everyone missed that. No, I'm just trying to understand. Okay.
Well, glad that Katie's seeing the hypocrisy in the budgets. Post-production, pre-production.
These two pictures right next to each other are so fucking funny.
Michelle is gorgeous. And, like, I really did enjoy that. It was kind of a reminder of, like, the golden age of Bachelor.
Yes.
Because it was just, like, dripping in opulence and the roses. And they used to be, like, highly anticipated. And then recently it's just been, like, less and less. And it's like, who fucking cares? But they brought it back from Michelle, so that was nice.
Yeah, that was nice. And it definitely, if you were on the fence about watching, like, I could imagine this would send you over the edge. And I also could imagine if you're Katie, this might send you over the edge.
Yeah.
She has a funny attitude about it. At the end of the day, she found love and she's happy and that's what matters.
And the fact that she's in on the joke, like, kind of makes me like her. Even though I didn't watch her season, I know nothing about her. I just love people who can, like...
I feel like a lot of people, like, they would have, you know, their horrible... promo moment. They would see the girl after them, like, literally 2 months later and be like, feel bitter about it, and then, like, on a podcast in a year, like, talk shit about it.
Totally. And it's like,
she just was letting came us out. Know she came out, she's being honest, like, I'm here for it.
Actually, you know what, I totally agree. Like, I have major respect for that,
right?
Totally.
So that's exciting. What was Katie's song, do you remember?
Do you think I literally know anything about what happened to Katie?
Usually the song,
which Little Mix song is it? However do you want
me, I think so, yeah.
However do you need me?
I mean, you can't go wrong with a Little Mix song. You just can't.
I have to say, the Little Mix bops that have been dropping, no offense, since Jesse left, are so good. That David Guetta song, how does it go?
Heartbreak Anthem.
This ain't a heartbreak anthem. I don't care what happened. So fucking good. Like, I don't know. Maybe Jesse was holding them back the whole time.
No, see, as someone who's been there from the beginning, really, with these girls, the songs were great with Jesse.
I was kidding.
But with Jesse's gone, nothing has changed. That's what I've realized.
And you know what? That's very similar to, like, when Zayn left the band. Like, honestly, my favorite album from One Direction is the one where Zayn wasn't in it.
Yeah,
four. Honestly, five is too many in a band. Four is a perfect amount.
Okay, but now Little Mix is three.
A trio. How fabulous.
Yeah, no, I agree. Like, just four Little is Mix great. Can't be stopped.
A four-part harmony. Like, four is actually a great number for, not a band, like a group, because bands play instruments, but...
No, and Little Mix takes no time off. Like, I follow the Little Mix account on Instagram, and, like, literally every week they're dropping a song last 5 years.
But you know what? Two out of three of them just had babies, so I actually do think now they might be taking a small break.
No, it feels like it's more than ever now.
No, because that song is everywhere, the Heartbreak Anthem. It's so good. Like, if I'm not listening to that song seriously in Ibiza in the next 6 months, like, get me out of here.
I think you missed your season for Ibiza.
I know. What's coming up?
In the fall, people go to...
Okay, like, take me to Aspen. Oh, no, I can't deal with that altitude anymore. I'm never going above sea level ever again.
Where do people go in the fall? Maybe, like, Lago
an apple orchard?
Como. Where? Lake Como.
Okay, sure, whatever. No, actually, I'm pretty sure, like, everyone went to Lake Como in August. But whatever. Wherever the cool travel destination is for fall, like, put me there and put that song on. And, like, I'm just going to show everyone my tits. Like,
I think it's Newport.
Oh, yeah, we've got to plan our trip.
I know. Okay, our next story, Kanye West seems to hint at cheating on Kim Kardashian after two kids in new song Hurricane. Okay, I totally missed this.
100% missed it.
In his new song Hurricane, which is featured on his recently released 10th studio album Donda, the rapper seemingly hints that he cheated on his estranged wife Kim after welcoming their first children together. The lyrics go like this. Here I go acting too rich, here I go with a new chick, and I know what the truth is, still playing after two kids. It's a lot to digest when your life's always moving. Then another...
Wait. Okay, it could also, the way that I perceive it, it's written in like a weird, bizarre, like third person. He could also be talking about Kim. Like Kim cheated. Just devil's advocate for a second.
That Kim is acting too rich. Kim has a new chick.
Oh, never mind.
Yeah, okay, never mind. But yeah, maybe it's like that... They're in different tenses.
Because there's a big rumor, sorry, about Kim and Drake.
Yeah, but maybe, sure. Okay. Say that's true, whatever. But, like, if their marriage was strained for so many years, like, Kanye probably got some, too.
Of course.
So, still playing after two kids.
Is that the only line that references it?
Yeah, but then later in the song, which he says this, and when I heard it, I was like, okay, some accountability. He was like, Architectural Digest, but I needed home improvement. $60 million home never went home to it.
Oh my God, I love that line. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there was an article in E! News yesterday, and even when it comes to the Kardashians, it's pretty reliable. A source says that Kim is open to the possibility.
I just want to say, now that E! Lost the show, they've become just as bad as everyone else.
That's true. Oh, like, my God. They
reported Kylie's pregnancy. Like, they used to not until it was, like, direct from Chris. But now they're just, like, another Us Weekly when it comes to the Kardashians.
That's so true. Oh, my God. I didn't realize that, like, we no longer have... Actually, now when I think of Kardashian, like, verified news, I think of TMZ.
Me too, but that's just because TMZ does the work. The other outlets just regurgitate what the other places are saying.
And, like, random sources. But, like, literally, TMZ's at the courthouse. TMZ, they have every medical file.
Oh, yeah. If anything is in the courts, TMZ has it. But they're, like, living in the trash cans, living in the dumpster, like, in the bushes. Like, they're doing the work.
That's so true.
That's why it's good stuff.
Yeah, that's true.
But, like, I'm sorry, E! News doesn't have people in the dumpster.
No, not at all.
They just, like, wait to see what, you know, the wire, what wire comes in.
They wait to see what TMZ pulls out of the trash can. And then they regurgitate it, like, a day later.
Yeah.
Okay, that's so interesting. E! News, no longer a reliable source for Kardashians. I actually really agree with that.
Yeah. It's not, I mean, it makes sense. They don't have the show anymore. Like, why would they, like, why would they stop on reporting, like, things the Kardashians wouldn't want out there?
It's September. We're almost at 2022. Like, where is the Kardashian show?
Keep waiting. I'm not even, like, waiting for it yet. I'm not even thinking about it. I feel like there's a chance they haven't even started filming it. I think they are taking a true break, especially this summer. Like, everyone's on vacation, living life. I'm just living life.
Yeah, I feel that.
Don't even think
about it. I don't even need, like, a piece of content. I would just like to know, like, what are we going to see? Where do we watch it? Is it weekly? Like, I would just love some information, some details, some structure.
You're not going to get it.
No, I'm not.
So, I like, for me personally, when I know I'm not going to get what I want, I just have to, like, stop thinking about it.
Yeah.
You know, otherwise it's a constant disappointment.
Yeah.
Are you ready for our fifth and final story?
Yeah. I am.
Are you?
Well, it's a catch 22.
Okay.
I'm only ready for the next story if it's a story that's brought to you by PayPal.
Yes. Then you're ready.
When it's time to pay, why pull out your wallet or open your purse when you probably already have your phone in your hand? PayPal QR code payments are now accepted at CVS stores nationwide, so it's super easy to make touch-free payments with your phone, and you can get $10 cash back on your first purchase of $20 or more. So honestly, like, PayPal's just kind of living in the 21st century, where we've all been in the Stone Age, like, carrying around wallets. And usually when I go to CVS, I'm always walking Theo, and I never bring my phone, and it's like, oh, I want a water, but I don't have my wallet. So, like, I always have my phone, I never have my wallet. And now that you could pay, especially at CVS, because I go to CVS like 4 times a day, now that you can pay for things on your phone with PayPal, it's so genius. So it's just a QR code. It's super easy to use. In just a few taps in the app, you're done, you're paid. You don't have to deal with all the annoying change, pulling out a credit card, and it works with a cashier or at self-checkout. So if you want to punch a checkout machine, you can also use your phone to pay, which is huge.
And you can use your phone to punch.
Plus, you can get $10 cash back the first time you make a purchase of $20 or more. It's like getting everything half off. I have used PayPal online for purchases for years, but now I love how we can use it in stores, and we're getting the same security. Also, credit cards are low-key, like, disgusting. Like, they're covered in bacteria. Those machines are, like, literal cesspools. So just have your phone, easy breezy. To get the $10 cash back on your first transaction of $20 or more, head to your local CVS and pay using the PayPal or the Venmo app. That's $10 cash back on your first purchase of $20 or more with the PayPal or Venmo app. And to see terms and learn about how you can earn the $10 cash back, go to paypal.com/toast. You guessed it.
Sweet. Okay, our fifth story is a little collab business news.
Collab business.
Spotify is taking over Delta's entire in-flight audio section.
Oh my God, it's about time with the radio, like.
Spotify has announced that it's taking over the audio section of Delta's in-flight seatback entertainment by offering its most popular playlists along with 42 select podcast series starting on September 1st. While it doesn't mean that you'll get random access to all Spotify content, you'll get a decent selection of popular music and podcasts from the streaming service. The content is licensed directly by Delta and free for all passengers and includes podcasts like Crime Junkie, Science vs. Startup, The Dave Chang Show, The Hottest Take, The Journal, and more.
I just have to say, Spotify stays winning. Like, they are geniuses.
They are.
Like, they've been buying up all these podcasts, and now they're going to take people on a plane. Oh, you have nothing to do for 6 hours? I'm going to force you to listen to one of my podcasts.
Yep.
It's literal, the most genius synergy or integration. I don't know. It's so smart. I'm sorry. Like, you could be mad, but they're winning.
Yeah. You'll also get access to some of their playlists, like Mood Booster, R&B, Hot Country, Mint, Today's Top Hits, Relax and Unwind, Hot Rap Country Caviar. Hot Country is a
great playlist.
Yeah, Rap Caviar. People love that playlist, too. And Ultimate
And people love
Indie.
Mood Booster, too.
Yeah. So, pretty cool synergy news.
No, it's so smart. Like, it's every time Spotify does something, like, I'm sorry, they're just... They are the best in the biz. And I'm surprised, yeah. Like, Apple
no,
podcasts.
No, and Apple, like, the small changes that they do make are just making everything worse.
Worse.
Like, the new browse and, like, like
and when every podcast has a channel. Just stop overcomplicating it.
Yeah, and they, like, move the charts, like, the way bottom. And it's, like, that's the only thing you guys have going is your
the charts.
Because, like, the charts are extremely...
Telling
and... They're updated frequently. Like, even the Spotify, I look at their playlist, their podcasts, and, like, they have the top charts for shows and then for... But
it's
not
very
like,
confusing.
But not episodes. It's just, like, they're not charty over there.
And, like, Spotify's still, like, not... They're big, but they're not the biggest in the podcasting space. Apple is. So, like, you would trust an Apple podcast chart. I've never checked a Spotify podcast chart in my life.
Yeah, so... And then they just move all that to the bottom. It's like they don't want people on the charts. And it's like, that's one of your strengths, Apple. I would lean into it.
Yeah, I think Apple is losing at this Spotify... I mean, at this podcasting game so hard when they literally invented podcasting. And I think in, like, less maybe than 5 years, no one will be listening to podcasts on Spotify. They're just shitting the bed. On Apple. They announced this huge update. Like, Spotify's been doing all these amazing things. Apple finally announced all these things. I'm reading it. I'm like, who fucking cares? Yes, you can offer, like, a subscription on Apple. But do you know, literally, as a creator, they take an enormous percentage of your... Why would anyone host a subscription service on Apple to give Apple a part of their percentage? Like, you're monetizing your own audience and giving money to Apple? And the Apple platform sucks. Like, I'm just, every time they announce a new update, I'm like, you guys are not reading the room at all.
No, and the Apple platform sucks. Like, every single day we post our podcast, and when we post the picture to the Instagram, it means that the audio and the video are both up unless we specify that the video is not up yet.
Right.
Every single day. And every single day there are people who are like, why isn't on Apple yet? And it's
no,
like, because Apple fucking sucks.
Yeah, Apple sucks. Literally a few weeks ago, Apple took almost 24 hours to upload our episode. It was on Spotify in a couple minutes. We upload through, like, a back-end dashboard, and they distribute to all the platforms. Mostly people just listen on Spotify and Apple. And literally, and I put in a ticket with Podcast Connect. I'm like, is something broken for 24 hours? They're like, it can take up to 24 hours. It usually doesn't, but I'm like, it can?
No, but I've also seen other creators, other podcasters who are like, it's not showing up on Apple yet, like, listen on Spotify. Or if you subscribe on Apple, you have a better chance of getting it in your library than if you don't subscribe. But it's like, just fucking fix it.
No, like, the most fundamental part of the podcast app is accessing podcasts. And they can't even do that.
Yeah.
So honestly, this whole Delta thing is genius. I think that I'm actually really surprised because, as far as I know, the only airline that has a partnership with the streaming service is JetBlue. And JetBlue isn't an enormous airline. It's really not even that international. But none of, like, American Airlines, United, Delta have partnerships with, like, Netflix. And I'm always surprised because you're stuck on a plane. If I just had a fucking... Everyone has to bring their iPad. If the stupid TV just had Netflix, like, what a joy it would be. So I think this Delta-Spotify integration is actually going to be huge. And the whole audio element on planes is so broken. I think up until now, the Delta partnership has been with SiriusXM. So you can go to the radio tab of the TV and listen to, like, 40s on 40, 50 on 50s. And it's just not it.
No.
At all.
No. And, like, when are your AirPods going to be able to connect to your entertainment?
Totally.
I mean, it would definitely be, you know, a feat because then everyone's AirPods pop up.
Oh, yeah. How do you handle that?
But it's 2021.
Yeah.
So I'm sure there's a way.
No. And if there's not a way, like, the the headphones that they're passing out are just not cutting it.
Oh no. Okay, let's talk about Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
The dinner party from hell.
I think that's so offensive towards Kathy Hilton because
I couldn't agree more because it was heavenly in there.
It was heavenly in there. I was living for every minute. I mean, the way some of the women were behaving were like really cringy and like embarrassing and like they've never been to a nice place in
Lisa
their
Rinna.
Life. Lisa Rinna. Even like Dorit a little bit. Sorry. Yeah. I love her so much.
Sorry. No, but honestly, this was not a good episode for Dorit.
Well, it wasn't. It wasn't. First of all, I wasn't a fan of pigtails at the most elegant dinner party we've ever seen.
I wasn't a fan of like literally giving me Kyle and Shahida vibes with her fucking fake ass wedding dresses. Like, this is Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. I'm sorry.
Stop.
We are beyond stupid ass. This was Salt Lake City fashion show. Like, we.
Oh my God, stop.
We are beyond these little projects. Like, these women, the Hiltons, like, we are beyond these little projects. I'm sorry. Like, even Beverly Beach was dumb. Like, I'm sorry.
She's allowed to work on her thing.
No, of course. But, like, her trying on these three dresses.
The dresses were so pretty.
When there's so much else going on. Okay, like, come on.
The dresses were pretty. I thought it actually showcased, like, a cute dynamic between her and PK. I was not offended by any of it.
Not offended. I just thought, like, we are above this.
I enjoyed that scene, considering it was, like, a personal home scene, which usually I don't enjoy.
Okay, I did not.
Okay, so we disagree.
That's
on
crazy.
That. If anything else happened, oh, the only other thing that happened in the episode before we get to the dinner party is Crystal had everyone over to talk shit about Sutton.
Oh my God.
What the fuck was that?
What the fuck was that from Crystal?
Really?
I forgot that they hated each other, that they had that
explosion. I know, because you know what? They said they put it behind them, but then like everything came out of like how Crystal really feels about Sutton when she was around one person who also doesn't like Sutton, which was Erica.
And also low-key Kathy. Well, Kathy was just basically being like, you're so worried about your reputation. Don't worry. Nobody knows who you are. And then Crystal, and it's okay for Kathy Hilton to say shit like that. But then Crystal was like, yeah, I don't know who she is. So we don't know who you were either, Crystal. No, like,
and
relax.
Crystal like also said that when she first came on. Yes. She said that about Dorit. And that seems to be like
her thing,
her measure for like if someone is worthy. And I think it's kind of low.
And it's hypocritical because Kathy Hilton can say shit like that. Crystal, we hadn't heard of you. Maybe some people had heard of your husband.
That's what Garcelle said.
Right. And I'm so glad Garcelle pointed that out. Like, I'm sorry. You can't say shit like that if you're not like you're not a household name.
But also, just because you haven't heard of someone doesn't mean that their opinions don't matter or that they're not allowed to be concerned with their name. Mm-hmm. Or this, that, and the other thing. And also, something that colored my view of the episode last night was this unseen moment that Bravo cut out, but they put in like unseen scenes
at the meeting at
Dorit's house when Sutton got everyone together to talk about Erica.
It's a
really big piece of information. Sutton shared that when Erica was first going through her divorce, that as Sutton had been through a divorce, her lawyer said to her, you know, you might need someone who you can lean on for money. You know, they'll pay you back after, but like you might need some money right now. So Sutton said to Erica, like when she had just initially gotten divorced, she said, you know, I knew that my lawyer said this. If you ever need me to be that person, I will be that person for you.
Right. And so we don't know if she ended up giving her money.
I don't think she did.
Right. But so I just think like Sutton is entitled to feel how she wants to feel. Where I'm losing Sutton is she's a big, bad mama jamma talking to everyone. And then she talks to Erica and she's like, bleh.
Yes and no. I think the way that we're seeing it, yes, it's like she says she has a big voice when she's not with Erica, but then she gets to sit with Erica and nobody fucking lets her speak. And maybe she's being long-winded because she's trying to couch what she's saying, the ultimate message. She's trying to make it sound less harsh, which I think it's like not necessarily two-faced. And then she has Rinna and Kyle saying, be honest, son. And she's trying to fucking speak and no one will let her speak.
No, I'm sorry. Kyle, I do think was justified. Like literally she said in her backyard to Kyle, she was like, I am going to tell her straight to her face. I don't believe her. Blah, blah, blah. You're a liar. And then she's just getting there and they're having the conversation for a while. And Sutton never lands the plane. And she's like, no, like, I support you. And Kyle's like, what the fuck? I'm sorry. I actually really appreciated Kyle. Like, if you're going to take a stand, take a stand.
I just think we're not seeing the whole conversation. Because it's too confusing. And also, like, Sutton is not backing down. Even when Erica talks to her like she's the literal shit on her shoe.
Erica has to stop doing that.
It's, like, Erica's behavior last night completely turned me off to her.
Me too.
Even wanting to try and find out, like, what she did or didn't know. Like, that's just not how you speak to people. And also, like, these people are your friends. And if they weren't, you'd fucking know it. But they're doesn't mean they're not allowed to ask you a question about, like, the biggest thing that's going on in town right now.
Right, because Erica's like, you're torturing me with this. Torturing? It's everywhere. Like, what are we supposed to do, not talk about it?
Right.
It's so stupid. And it's like, I don't know what the right way to go about this is. Like, definitely not the Lisa Rinna blind loyalty, moronic way of going about it. I feel like the person who has the most realistic outlook on it is probably Kyle. By the way, did you think it was weird that Kathy's, like, go-to butler didn't know who Kyle was?
I did think that was
weird. She was like, I'm Kyle, I'm Kathy's sister. I just feel like they're not close.
I don't know, but I think the person who has the most realistic outlook on it is Garcelle. And yeah. When she said last night, like, and no one has any, like, the women keep saying, and when someone else brings up the orphans and widows, they're like, yes, of course, we're worried about them. Like, no one is mentioning them. Like, Garcelle was like, these people had nothing, and now they have less. Like,
totally.
Where is the energy for that?
No, and this victim mentality from Erica is really starting to bother me, like, crying at every meal and make, like, look at my life. What about the life of people whose parents died in a plane and they literally got no money? What about their lives? I'd like to look at their lives, because they seem a lot worse than you living in your casita. Like, you're fine.
Yeah.
I couldn't agree more. Like, everyone has lost sight of everything. And it just looks like Erica's going to, like, get away with all of this.
I think Erica will. I think, you know, even...
Even if she didn't know, like, whatever, no one's going to push her on anything. She's made it impossible to raise an eyebrow.
And I think even in the legal system, I don't think she's going to go to jail or anything. Because it's all about, like, what did she know or didn't know? And there's really no way to prove that unless, like, you know, there's paper trail. But I don't think that there is. So I think that, you know, Tom is probably going to jail. I don't think
Tom's not going to jail
because of his,
he's too old. Like, it's they don't send people that old to jail. I think it's, like, illegal.
Why they sent, like, Harvey Weinstein?
Harvey Weinstein's, like, in his 60s or 70s.
No, he, but
Tom Girardi is, like, literally 1,000 years old.
Okay, no, let's see the difference.
No, okay, remember in Shawshank Redemption, that guy gets out because he's old?
Yes, no, there is, sad. Yes, you can't, like, I understand what you're saying.
At a certain point, you're not allowed to go to prison. I'm telling you, I don't know what the rule is. I don't make up the
Harvey
rules.
Harvey Weinstein is 69.
Tom is in his 90s.
I think he's in his 80s.
Tell me.
And also, one other thing, Tom Girardi's 82.
He's looking a lot older than that.
Yeah, he wants you to think that so that he true. Has, that's part of his defense. One other thought that I had, and I think it was like something amongst what Sutton said, was like Erica and Tom were married for 20 years. In the same month that Erica decides to divorce Tom is the same month that his whole
legal troubles.
Life is about to crumble.
It's so fake. I'm sorry. Like
I, if I had, if I'm being really cynical and thinking about what happened, it's that they knew that this was coming and Erica's running for cover.
Of course.
Not like, oh, we happened to get divorced and then the month later it happened that he's like the world's worst criminal.
It's an amazing point. The odds of not even the same month, 1 week apart, like the odds of the divorce and the lawsuit coming out in the same week, agreed, when they've been married for 20 years, it's too weird. And I just feel like all of these women are worried that Erica's gonna be fine. Like, she'll move on with her life. She'll build her life back up. She'll go back to being, you know, the favorite Beverly Hills housewife. And then she's gonna hate you because literally 5 years ago, you questioned on whether or not she stole money from orphans. So that's where Dorit is now. She's like, no, I support you. But also Dorit is like, you know, the audience fucking hates Erica. The audience is not standing for this at all. The audience. No.
The audience stands with Sutton.
And the audience thinks Erica knew everything. So it's like, which side do you play? Like, you want to be popular. You don't want your Instagram comments to be flooded with, like, you are supporting a mongrel. But also, like, you have to survive with these women. And if Erica doesn't like you, like, she makes it very known. Like, she is fucking annihilating
Sutton.
And it's like, even though Sutton has decent intentions and Sutton, like, has fair points, she doesn't even get to them because she's getting annihilated by Erica. Mm-hmm. So Erica's impossible to talk to. And this is an impossible situation for the women. She's like, do I support my friend and maybe down the line she won't kill me? Or do I ask, like, the ethical questions and have the audience be behind me? Erica, I mean, Lisa Rinna has made it abundantly clear, like, she doesn't give a shit if the audience likes her anymore, which is crazy because that's all she cared about forever.
Yeah. But I think what she does care about is being on the show.
Right. And being in the good graces of the women and never being at a position where, like, you're kind of out of the group that you could be, like, cut out of the show.
Yeah.
Because at some point, if you're just not really friends with anyone and you're, like, boring, that's grounds for firing. Like,
yeah.
If you're, like, on the outskirts. So the dinner party continues next week. It's just...
We didn't get a preview, though.
Did we not?
No. It just, like, went into the next show.
The food looks so good. The lamb chops.
Oh, my God. Caviar pie? Yum.
Yeah, it was, like, egg caviar pie.
It looked so good. Like, the house was so stunning. The decor was...
Those baccarat, like, lamps. Everyone was, like...
And the... Like, just everything to a T. And it's, like... And we thought Beverly Hills was creme de la creme, and, like, we were missing out on such creme.
The creme of the creme.
The creme-y vibes.
No, it was so good. And I really do, like, love Kathy.
I love her. I totally misread her in the beginning of the season. I thought that she was all over the place, and she's not at all. She's I wonder, very wise. Should go watch those episodes back and just see if maybe she was all over the place, or if like there was just a side of her that like now matches up to like the woman that we know, or that we're getting to know. She is, and it's just, it's a pleasure.
It's a pleasure. That is our show, and it was a pleasure. Anything else you want to say before we wrap it up?
No, but check out the Redheads if you're missing us already. You know, you can read the book or not read the book. We always do a summary at the beginning so you'll know what we're talking about. And we're just talking about major themes in life, you know, family, love, honesty, secrets. Ooh. Can you ever keep a secret and never tell anyone and it's better that way and no harm done? Mm. Or does everything have to get out in the open eventually?
Everything comes out in the wash. I really do believe that. You can keep a secret, but it'll eat you up and then you'll become like a miserable little fuck.
I mean,
I didn't read the book. I don't know what it's about, but it sounds like I nailed it.
That actually is the book, yeah.
Thank you guys so much for listening to The Morning Toast, the Millennial Morning Show, where we deliver the fast five stories that you need to know every Monday through Friday on YouTube. So if you're watching this on YouTube, please feel free to subscribe and give this video a thumbs up. We're also available as a podcast anywhere podcasts can be found, such as Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Public Radio, iHeartRadio, CastBox, all the places. So wherever you listen to podcasts, find us, The Morning Toast, and leave a five-star review about how beautiful, stunning, and smart we are. Hope you have an amazing day. It's been a pleasure. If you're still here listening, leave the emoji on our most recent Instagram of just like the cardboard box. Like, I don't know, I'm just feeling boxy. Have a great day, everyone. We'll see you tomorrow.
Bye.